If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
We have all been following, to one degree or another, the story of the young boy who was killed in Plainfield, his mother seriously injured as well by their landlord. Our Chicago take today on what's happening in Israel, Gaza, and right here in Chicago, sponsored by HaggertyAutoGroup.com. Our major story of the day is our Chicago take, and we appreciate their sponsoring this segment and the visit by Rabbi Evan Mafik, the Jewish community leader, the rabbi of Macomb Salel Lakeside in Highland Park. Rabbi, welcome to the show. You're on WGN.
Thanks, John. It's an honor.
Well, it's an honor to have you here. I guess I'll just kind of ballpark you with what's your overarching feeling today? What is your message to your community or all of us, Rabbi?
Well, in specific, in regard to what happened in Plainfield, it's just an absolute tragedy. I think the Jewish community feels absolutely awful. I know several rabbis actually attended the funeral for the young boy. It's just horrific to see this feeling of hate in any form. I'm broken up by what happened, especially, you know, in America. You know, there are pockets of anti-Semitism. There's been a rise in anti-Semitism, but in general, we have wonderful relationships with people of different ethnicities and different groups, and this is tragic. Now, in Israel, it's just been one of the most painful week and a half, really, of my whole career. There's just so much sadness, fear, so much anxiety, and There's just a feeling that we haven't seen this kind of hate in 75 years.
The president is traveling to Israel, and I think there's a lot of conversation today about which team are you picking. Are you pro-Israel, or are you so put off by the retribution by Israel that you find yourself pro-Palestinian? And I wonder what you would make. Universities find themselves cautiously trying to put out statements that seem to straddle the line. What do you make about how people are trying to talk about this right now?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think one way to understand it is that the pro-Palestinian position here is not pro-Hamas. Hamas doesn't care one bit about a Palestinian state. I mean, their main objective is murdering Jews and Israelis. So there isn't the same kind of moral equivalency. I think one can be concerned about Israel's reaction. I think, you know, any country has to protect its citizens and try to never allow something like this to happen again. So I actually think the more pro-Palestinian position to think about it that way is to support Israel's effort to reduce Hamas's power. Hamas doesn't speak for the Palestinians. They're just an unequivocal terrorist group.
Sure. But I'm going to repeat what you just said. The more pro-Palestinian position is to support Israel's efforts to defeat Hamas. But in the name of that, they are killing so many innocent Palestinians. How do we square that?
I don't think we can square it. I think we can do everything. I think Israel's trying, and the U.S. government should encourage Israel to do everything it can to reduce civilian deaths. And I think Israel is. I think we should put pressure on the Arab world to accept some refugees like Egypt, and do everything we can to protect civilians. It's just awful. It's an intractable situation. I do think if there was some way of releasing the hostages, I mean, there's almost 200 Israeli hostages, grandparents, children. If there was a way to release hostages, I think that would cool down the temperature a lot.
How so?
Well, I think that's Israel's main objective right now. I think Israel's primary objective is getting back hostages. And if in some ways there was a coalition, let's say Egypt and Iran could put pressure on Hamas to release hostages, I think there's a possibility there could be a ceasefire. But until that's at all a possibility, I think a ceasefire is a pipe dream.
Doesn't it seem like many of the Palestinians here are between a rock and a hard place? Israel is not their ally. Despite what you said, I understand your point, but they're living in the Gaza Strip and they're cordoned off by Israel. And yet Hamas doesn't give a whit about them and are willing to use them as casualties in the name of what? In the name of what? Who knows, right? I mean, one wonders. People have asked me, my parents asked me, well, what does Hamas think this is going to accomplish? And I can't imagine the answer to that. But in the meantime, there are these people living in the Gaza Strip who seem to be without a voice. They seem to be without a voice.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. That's what makes it so tragic. I think Hamas looks at the world, I think, in a way very different than Westerners do. The kind of value put on human life is significantly less. And I think you're right. I can understand why some people in Gaza support Hamas. I mean, they were elected. Their lives, it's a terrible life. There's not water. There's not great health care. It's not a good way to live. And I think that the dream back in the Oslo Accords in the 90s was that cooperation would bring economic development and further prosperity. But this fierce hatred and identity, in a way, identity politics, who we are, who we hate is more important than what we can do together, really still dominates.
And maybe, I don't know what about the timing on this, maybe you have some insight, but you almost wonder if Israel's getting close to an accord with Saudi Arabia was something that motivated Hamas to finally act.
Oh, I think absolutely. I think that was a key motive because, Saudi Arabia and Iran are in sort of a battle for primary influence in the Middle East. And Saudi Arabia, by making some sort of agreement with Israel, would have much greater economic clout, and Iran, in a way, by supporting Hamas, strikes back. Because it's very hard when Israel is dropping bombs in Gaza. It's hard for Saudi Arabia to come to any sort of agreement because even though they were willing to make an agreement with Israel when there are Arabs dying, that makes it virtually impossible. So there was certainly a political calculus by Hamas and probably Iran in the timing.
What will you say to your, what is it? What's the word? Congregants?
Yeah.
What do you say to them this weekend?
Well, they're hurting. They're extremely fearful and they're anxious. People aren't sleeping because this just echoes so much trauma in Jewish history. I mean, pogroms. I mean, this was the most Jews killed in one day since the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And so for me right now, it's really just reassuring congregants that Israel is strong, Israel will survive, that the American Jewish community is safe, and that we'll get through this just as we've gotten through other really difficult moments.
And Rabbi, I know there's anti-Semitism out there, and I know there's people who are anti-Palestinian out there, and I don't mean to be naive about either of those, but I also believe that what we saw in Plainfield is the action of one angry, crazy individual. And I think I said this to my colleagues earlier, easy to extrapolate from that more than is necessary. This is an awful crime that took place, but I don't think it reflects the attitude of Chicagoans.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more that some people are triggered by what they see on the news and the horrible images. And it doesn't reflect the vast good relationships between Arabs and Jews in the United States, between Jews and Muslims. I mean, I have friends who are imams. This was an isolated incident, thank God, and it's tragic. And we'll hopefully, it raises so many important issues to discuss. But I agree with you; it doesn't reflect the wider culture.
Why don't you come on with us once in a while in the weeks ahead? Let's continue this kind of conversation, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Rabbi Evan Mafik, Jewish community leader, the rabbi of Makom Salel Lakeside in Highland Park.